Tonight's Through the Bible is going to be a little different because I'm not recording it in front of the congregation, but rather in my study in front of my computer. That's also probably why I sound different here. It's a different recording mechanism. Now, this section of Joshua, which is chapters 19 through 21, I'm just going to read because it really doesn't contain a whole lot of information that can be applied to real life. It's just really factual. It's important information that we know so we can understand better how to map out where the borders and so on were for each one of the tribes. And that does come into play as far as importance in other books. But I think we would be straining to try to find a whole lot of spiritual revelation in these chapters. So rather than doing it as a service where everybody shows up, just pretty much have me read the name of cities that I'm not absolutely certain I know how to pronounce, I thought I would record them here. So at least we have them on the website and a few comments I might make. But other than that, that's really all these chapters are, is just describing the boundaries of some of the tribes and their inheritance. And remember, there's only seven remaining because as we read last week in Through the Bible, chapters 16 through 18, God had said to Joshua, there are still seven tribes that have not gone in and possessed their land. And so when we got into chapter 19, naturally when they began to cast the lots and divide out the land, it only covered the remaining seven tribes that had not taken possession of their land. Again, starting in Joshua chapter 19, verse 1, says, the second lot came out for Simeon, the tribe of his descendants by their clans, but their inheritance was with the portion of Judah's descendants. Now, I will give a comment about that. if you remember, both Simeon and Levi were the ones who came up against Shechem way back in the book of Genesis and deceived the inhabitants, particularly the males, and killed a good number of them, mostly due to the indiscretion of their sister, which they had taken to literally be the unwanted advances of the prince. So it was really mostly the indiscretion of the sister than it was anything else. And so nonetheless, it was a terrible situation where a lot of people died. And so when it came time to pronounce a blessing on the sons before passing, the father said, you know what, I don't ever want to fall into the counsel of Levi and Simeon, though he had said that earlier at the time. But then when it came to give the blessing, he told them that they would not inherit a land with their brothers. And of course, Levi, that wound up being realized by them becoming priests, because when they went to enter, when they left Egypt, and the first time that there was a major rebellion, Levi sided with God. And so therefore God was able to honor the prophecy that was spoken by not giving them a land, but them also honor their heart and standing for the Lord by making himself their inheritance. So they received great portions of property to live on that was not their possession, and God became their inheritance. So they wound up receiving an inheritance, but not an inheritance of land. And so that way it was met for Levi. But for Simeon, it was met by him having land to live on, but it was really within the territory of Judah's inheritance. So that's what this is about here. So again, I'll start back again, verse 1. The second lot came out for Simeon, meaning the casting of the lot, which is the rolling of dice, if you will. The scripture says that the casting of the lot into the lap is in the hand of man, but his every decision is from the Lord. And so it was back then, that was the way they determined what the decision for the Lord was. And God would guide the dice exactly the way they needed to fall. So when the lot were cast for Simeon, for the tribe of his descendants by their clans, but their inheritance was with the portion of Judah's descendants. Verse 2. Their inheritance included Beersheba, or Sheba, Molada, Hazar Shula, Bela, Ezim, El Tolad, Bethul, Horam, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susha, Beth Leboath, and Shurahin, 13 cities with their villages. Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Ashan, four cities with their villages, and all the villages surrounding these cities as far as Baalath Beer, or Shammah of the South. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Simeon's descendants by their clans. The inheritance of Simeon's descendants was with the territory of Judah's descendants because the share for Judah's descendants was too large for them. So Simeon's descendants received an inheritance with Judah's portion. Now, that was a gracious way of saying it. God did make an abundant provision for Judah, but really the biggest reason why Simeon didn't receive their own land was said to us much earlier in the prophecy that was spoken over them after their indiscretion. So, and that was in Genesis. Now we continue in Joshua 19, starting verse 10. The third lot came up for Zebulun's descendants by their clan. Their territory of their inheritance stretched as far as Sarid. Their border went up westward to Marla, reached Debesheth, and met the brook east of Jokneam. From Sarid, it turned east towards the sunrise along the border of Chisloth Tabor, went to Dabareth, and went up to Japhia. From there, it went east towards the sunrise to Gath Hefer and to Ethan Kazin. This extended to Rimmon, curving around to Nea. The border then circled around Nea on the north to Hanoth and ended at the valley of Iphaloth El, along with Kata, Nahala, Simron, Idala, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of Zebulun's descendants by their clans, these cities with their villages. Picking up now verse 17, the fourth lot came out for the tribe of Issachar's descendants by their clans. Their territory went to Jezreel and included Chesuloth, Senuin, Hepharim, Shion, Anaharath, Rabbath, Kishion, Abiz, Remeth, En-Ganim, and Hadad, Beth Pezez. The border reached Tabor, Shahazuma, and Beth Shemesh, and ended at the Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Issachar's descendants by clans, the cities with their villages. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of Asher's descendants by their clans. Their boundary included Helkath, Hali, Beten, Achshaph, Alamelech, Amed, and Mishal, and reached westward to Carmel and Shur-Ra-Libnath. It turned eastward to Beth-Dagon, past Zebulun, and the valley of Iphtah-El, north towards Beth-Emek and Nail, and went north to Kabul, Ebron, Rehob, Haman, and Canaan, which is actually K-A-N-A-H, as far as Great Sidon. The boundary then turned to Ramah as far as the fortified city of Tyre. It turned back to Hasha and ended at the sea, including Mahalab, Aksib, Uma, Aphek, and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Asher's descendants by their clans, these cities with their villages. Verse 32. The sixth lot came out for Naphtali's descendants by their clans. Their boundaries went from Haleph and from the oak in Zananim, including Adam Nekeb and Jabneel, as far as Lakum, and ended at the Jordan. To the west, the boundary turned to Asnoth Tabor and went from there to Hakuk, reached Zebulun on the south, Asher on the west, and Judah at the Jordan of the east, on the east. The fortified cities were Zedim, Zir, Hamath, Rakath, Shinnereth, Adama, Ramah, Hazar, Kedesh, Edri, En-Hazar, Iron, Megdal-El, Horam, Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of Naphtali's descendants by their clans, the cities with their villages. Verse 40. The seventh lot came out for the Danite tribe by its clans. The territory of their inheritance included Zorah, Eshtalah, Shemesh, Shal-Abin, Ajalon, Ithlah, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, El-Tekah, Gibbethon, Balath, Jehud, Ben-Barak, Gath-Ramon, Mijarkon, and Rakon, with their territory facing Joppa. When the territory of the Danites slipped out of their control, they went up and fought against Leshem, captured it, and struck down with the sword. So they took possession of it, lived there, and renamed Leshem after their ancestor Dan. This was the inheritance of the Danite tribe by its clans, these cities, with their villages. The inheritance for Joshua, starting at verse 49. When they had finished distributing the land into its territories, the Israelites gave Joshua, son of Nun, an inheritance among them. By the Lord's command, they gave him the city Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, which he requested. He rebuilt the city and lived in it. These were the portions that Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the families distributed to the Israelite tribes by lot at Shiloh in the Lord's presence at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing up the land. Chapter 20. These are cities of refuge. Now, if you remember, we've talked about this before. When God gave the law, he talked about the fact that there needed to be cities of refuge that were distributed in equal, pretty much equal distance throughout all of the cities of Israel, so that it would be a place that if someone who had committed what we might call today involuntary manslaughter, where someone has been hurt or where someone's been killed by accident. It wasn't something that was intentional, wasn't premeditated. It's like, you know, you're out. I think one of the examples that's given in scripture is when someone was might be out in the forest cutting down a tree, and an axe flies off the end of an axe, and it, you know, essentially plants itself in the middle of someone's forehead. It kills them. It was not intentional. It was by accident. But if a family realized that, you know, say, my dad and your dad were out there in the field and were out there in the forest, and your dad is alive and my dad isn't, and he's got your dad's axe head in his forehead, we're going to be angry and we're going to pursue you and try to kill that man because he clearly killed him. Well, the one who committed the involuntary manslaughter could run to one of these cities of refuge for protection until a trial could take place. And once the trial had taken place, if it had been proven that it was not intentional, it was not premeditated, but it was in fact an accident, then the man could live in that city and was in fact required to live in that city until either the people pursuing him passed away or until he died, or until the death of the high priest, which the priestly code stated that no harm was allowed to come to the perpetrator once the Jewish high priest had died. So at that point, the perpetrator was free to leave the city without fear. So it was there for his protection. And so that's what these cities we're about to read about are describing. And some of the details of this is found way back in Numbers 35, verses 1 through 8. But at the time, the names of the cities were not known because they weren't going to be actually designated until they actually came to the promised land, which is what this chapter is all about. And again, this is in Joshua chapter 20, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, 'Tell the Israelites, select your cities for refuge as I instructed you through Moses.'" Now notice it says, "as I instructed you through Moses," which is what I just referenced in Numbers 35, verses 1 through 8. "So that a person who kills someone unintentionally or accidentally may flee there. These will be your refuge from the avenger of blood. When someone flees to one of these cities, stands at the entrance of the city gate and states his case before the elders of that city, they are to bring him into the city and give him a place to live among them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not hand the one who committed manslaughter over to him, for he killed his neighbor accidentally and did not hate him beforehand. Verse 6, he is to stay in that city until he stands trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest serving at the time. Then the one who committed manslaughter may return home to his own city from which he had fled." So they designated Kadesh in the hill country of Naphtali in Galilee, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. Across the Jordan, east of Jericho, they selected Bezer on the west, the wilderness plateau of Reuben's tribe, Ramoth in Gilead from Gad's tribe, and Golan in Bashan from Manasseh's tribe. These are the cities appointed for all of the Israelites and foreigners among them, so that anyone who killed a person unintentionally may flee there and not die at the hand of the avenger of blood until he stands before the assembly. Now, I want you to notice also that this did not just protect Israelites, it's also protected the strangers who were among them. Joshua chapter 21. The heads of the Levite families approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the head of the families of the Israelite tribes. They told them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to live in, with their pasture lands for our livestock." So the Israelites, by the Lord's command, gave the Levites the cities with their pasture lands from their inheritance. The lot came out for the Kohathite clans. The Levites, who were the descendants of Aaron the priest, received 13 cities by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The remaining descendants of Kohath received 10 cities by lot from the clans of the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 6. Gershon's descendants received 13 cities by lot from the clans of the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and half the tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. Merari's descendants received 12 cities for their clans from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. The Israelites gave their cities with their pasture lands around them to the Levites by lot, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Verse 9. The Israelites gave these cities by name from the tribes of the descendants of Judah and Simeon to the descendants of Aaron from the Kohathite clans of the Levites, because they received the first lot. They gave them Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, with its surrounding pasture lands in the hill country of Judah. Arba was the father of Anak. But they gave the fields and the villages of the city to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. Verse 13. They gave to the descendants of Aaron the priest Hebron, the city of refuge for the one who commits manslaughter, with its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir with its pasture land, Ishtamo with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, An with its pasture lands, Juttah, J-U-T-T-A-H, with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities from these two tribes. Verse 17. From the tribe of Benjamin, they gave Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Almon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. All 13 cities with their pasture lands were for the priests, the descendants of Aaron. Verse 20. They allotted cities to the remaining clans of Kohath's descendants, who were Levites, came from the tribe of Ephraim. The Israelites gave them Shechem, the city of refuge for the one who commits manslaughter, with his pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with his pasture land, Kibzam with his pasture land, and Beth Horon with his pasture land, 4 cities. From the tribe of Dan, they gave Eltek with his pasture land, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Aijalon with its pasture lands, and Gath Ramon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. From half the tribe of Manasseh, they gave Tanakh with its pasture lands, and Gath Ramon with its pasture lands, 2 cities. Verse 26. All cities with their pasture lands were for the clans of Kohath's other descendants. From half the tribe of Manasseh, they gave to the descendants of Gershon, who were one of the Levite clans, Golan, the city of refuge, for the one who commits manslaughter, with its pasture lands in Bashan, and Beshterah with its pasture land, 2 cities. From the tribe of Issachar, they gave Kishion with its pasture lands, Dabirath with its pasture lands, Jamrath with its pasture lands, and En-Ganim with its pasture lands, 4 cities. From the tribe of Asher, they gave Mishal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkath with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, 4 cities. From the tribe of Naphtali, they gave Kadesh in Galilee, the city of refuge for the one who commits manslaughter, with its pasture lands, Hamath Dor with its pasture lands, and Kartan with its pasture lands, 3 cities. Verse 33. All 13 cities with their pasture lands were for the Gershonites, by their clans. From the tribe of Zebulun, they gave to the clans of the descendants of Merari, who were the remaining Levites, Jokneam with its pasture lands, Kirtah with its pasture lands, Dimnah with its pasture land, and Nahalal with its pasture lands, 4 cities. From the tribe of Reuben, they gave Bezir with its pasture lands, Jazah with its pasture lands, Kedmoth with its pasture lands, and Mephath with its pasture lands, 4 cities. For the tribe of Gad, they gave Ramoth and Gilead, the city of refuge for the one who commits manslaughter, with its pasture lands, Mahanim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, and Jazir with its pasture lands, 4 cities in all. Verse 40. All 12 cities were allotted to the clans of Merari's descendants, the remaining Levite clans. Within the Israelite possession, there were 48 cities in all, with their pasture lands for the Levites. Each of these cities had its own surrounding pasture lands. This was true for all the cities. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side according to all he had sworn to their fathers. None of their enemies were able to stand against them, for the Lord handed over all their enemies to them. None of the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled. Now that's the end of our reading from Joshua 19 through 21. And I hope it wasn't too painful to listen to, since I really am not entirely certain how to pronounce many of those words, but we muddled through them nonetheless, and we got the point of the division of the lands, that everything God promised to do, he did.